Mom. It's never dad. Mom. It's right in that tone. Mom. Hey, happy Mother's Day, moms. We appreciate all you've done for us. I would like you, if you would, turn to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And this is the story of baby Jesus being taken to the temple by his mother and father, Joseph and Mary. And they're going to dedicate him, just like this child you saw, being dedicated unto the Lord. And we'll pick this story up, if you don't mind, at verse 21. When 8 days were completed and the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves for two young pigeons. If you were giving two young pigeons or two turtle doves, you are actually giving the offering at the temple of a poor person. There are other gifts that could be brought. This is the least of any gift that anybody could bring. So it tells us that baby Jesus was born during an economic downturn, and that his earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and the construction business had gone backwards, and they didn't have a lot of money. So it was much like what we're living in right now that people are struggling with. So when they came, they offered this to the Lord, and of course the Lord accepted that. We're told in our country, approximately 54% of all mothers in America that have children, 6 years and under, are able to spend breakfast with them. Only 54% of the mothers in America are able to spend breakfast with their children that are 6 years and under. 79% of children are able to spend dinner with their mother if they're 6 years or under. In the United States, there are approximately 354,000 care facilities for children, daycare centers across the country to help mothers that have to work. So this is one of the situations that was a pressure for Mary, that she had married a man that really didn't have a lot of money. And in today's society, many mothers have to work to help balance things out. I know I was raised by a working mom, alcoholic father who was not at home, but my mother definitely made sure that I made it to my teenage years so I could go in the military at 17 and get thrown out when I was 18 and then go through a lot of trouble in my life. If God's going to bless a woman, the odds of a woman to have a set of twins would be 1 out of 31. The odds for her to have triplets would be 1 out of 539. If you were a betting person, that's what the odds would be. Multiple births keep on going from there. And God chooses special people to have special children. And all of us are special children because we all have a mom. Some of us didn't know our moms. Some of us were separated from our moms. Some of us were adopted from our moms, and yet our adopted mother has done wonderful jobs. Women in America are also waiting longer to be a mother. The average age 2 years ago was 25.2, 25 years and 2 months for a woman in America to have a baby, when in 1970 it was 21.9 or 22.1, right around the age of 22. And women are waiting longer now is what that statistic tells us. It's a median statistic, which means half of the women are older than 25 and half of the women are younger than 25. But 40% of the births that take place in America take place with women who are having a baby for the very first time. So that's something to take note of. And we'd also like to take note of, for some reason, babies have one day of the week more than any other day that they like to be delivered on. Did you know that? I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and take the test. What day do you think it is that babies choose over all 7 days of the week? Go ahead. Just take a guess. Got it? Okay, so a week from Thursday, I'll tell you. No. Babies are more apt to be birthed and born on Tuesday than any other day of the week. How many of you chose Tuesday, huh? All right, there are some of you. You get the free Haagen-Dazs out front. The code word is Tuesday to the vendor out there. Babies, I don't know if they choose or if the Lord says Tuesday's going to be it. It's kind of an interesting little bit of trivia at all. I read a quote by a guy named John Wymont. And John Wymont said, "Before I got married, I had 6 theories on raising children. Now I have 6 children and no theories." Being a mother is a very special job. I found out years after that my mother was trailing me in my junior high and watching me in my high school years. And even as a young adult, she was always concerned for me. And moms just have a care and a concern for their kids. It's just something that God has put inside of a woman to hold a baby and to dedicate herself to not only get up early in the morning, but to change those diapers and to love that child and, like a father, to make sure that child gets the best in life. There is a huge, huge attack on the family, on the mother and the father roles in our country right now, because in many areas, the enemies of our country and our lifestyle are trying to shred us. But the mother has probably got to be one of the most important positions and honored and revered positions in all societies throughout the world. Today, and we'll let you go early, Mother's Day is the busiest day in restaurants all throughout the United States of America and San Diego County. Today is the day. So we're going to let you get out early so you can get over to Jack in the Box very quickly, okay? We'll take your moms out. Also, as you know, there are more phone calls on Mother's Day than any other day, more than Christmas or Valentine's. Mother's Day, there are more telephone calls than any other time in our country. However, Father's Day, there are more collect calls than any other day in the history of the phone industry. They found that to be true. What state do you think has the largest percentage of mothers living in it? Go ahead and turn to the other person and tell them, what state of the union? The babies come out on Tuesday. What state do they come out on mostly on Tuesday? Now, some of you are being tough guys up there in the back row. You're not talking. Come on, loosen up. This is a fun day. Mom's watching. What state? How many of you guessed California? Because it's the largest population, of course, 33 million. You're wrong. State of Kentucky. Tuesdays in Kentucky is Kentucky Day. The word mother is found 245 different times in the King James Bible. Did you know that? There's 66 books, so it must be pretty important to show up 245 times. The plural for mother shows up 8 times. The apostrophe S mother show up 75 times in the Bible. There are about 11% of women end up their childbearing years with 4 or more children, which is very important for us. However, it is less than a few years back in 1976. So 36% of the women in our country had 4 or more children. Today, 11%. Now, why is this important? It's very important when you realize that the Bible tells us that one of the most important things in the entire creation of God was you. We've learned that in our verse-by-verse study on Sunday mornings in Ephesians. That you are the most important thing that God ever created or made. And in Ephesians, we found out that God has a depth of riches for you and blessings that only you can receive, that he's got with your name on it in heaven, and he'll give them to you now. And when you get to heaven, it'll take all eternity to receive the riches and glory, the glory of his grace, the goodness of his grace, the riches of his grace, we saw. God has a lot for you. This morning, I was reading out of Isaiah as I was drinking a cup of coffee, sitting on the couch, and I came across a verse that we're going to be looking at Wednesday night in Isaiah, and it spoke of something that captured my attention, and it said, the garment of our salvation, the garment of salvation, and the robe of righteousness. So I was thinking, this body is getting older. And as it goes away, people will say, you know, that guy died. But I didn't really die because I came out of this body. This is like the shell. And you leave this body and you go to heaven. And there is, according to the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians, a new body, a celestial body. This is called terrestrial. Planet Earth is the terrestrial. So what does that mean? Terrestrial literally means made up of the elements of the earth. So this body, if we were to go over to the medical examiner's office right now and have him do a sample of your body, it would be the same exact, to the point, elements as clay or dirt. And that's how God made Adam. We have the same makeup as dirt. Terrestrial. To walk around on planet Earth, to go to a football game, to surf, to do anything, to live on this planet, you have to have a terrestrial body. It's the only way you can make it. We were at the mayor's prayer breakfast this week up in Visalia. Governor Mike Huckabee spoke. And he did a super Q&A on Thursday night for about 240 of the leaders of the valley up there. And then on Sunday morning, over 1,000 people came to the mayor's prayer breakfast, which we helped start 26 years ago when we held the festival in Visalia. It still goes on every year. And I looked at him and listened to him as he spoke in that prayer breakfast for the mayor about Jesus Christ and how important it is for everybody to have Jesus as their Savior. And there is no way we can get into heaven without Jesus accepting us into heaven. Now, I know that probably shocked a lot of people. But to hear him, a candidate for the President of the United States, so pointedly tell us of his faith in the Lord and what the Lord had done for him is amazing. However, when you get to heaven, and I hope to see you all there, and I'm sure you all know that there are going to be two surprising things when you get into heaven. Number one, you're going to see a lot of people that you never imagined you'd see there. And you're going to let them know it, too. And number two, there's going to be a lot of people that say they're surprised to see you there. Well, you have a terrestrial body. I remember flying back. We were in a single-engine airplane. We're at 17,500 feet. And above 12,000 feet, you need to have oxygen if you're the pilot. And we had oxygen in our nasal, and we were breathing the oxygen. That's because we had left the terrestrial, we've gone out a little bit to the celestial, and we need oxygen when you leave the ground. And the FAA regulations say you need to have oxygen. Pilots have to have it at 12,000 feet, but passengers can be, I think it's 14,000 feet. So you can pass out and fall asleep while they're flying, I guess is the plan. But when you get to heaven and you leave this body, there is a celestial body, which literally means celestial, made up of the elements of the heavens. When our astronauts walked on the moon, which was a thrilling thing to watch, they had on what we call a space suit. And they had a huge helmet with a pack on the back that gave them oxygen so they could breathe. They were in an environment where the terrestrial body will not make it. They had a mask that took all the bad rays out that they could see out, you couldn't see in. They had a fabric over their arms and their fingers and their feet and just mimicked their bodies perfectly. But if you were to see them and you were a moon person, you say, wow, those are weird looking people. Look at the size of that guy's head. Man, he's got a black face and eyeballs. And what is going on there with that guy? And look at his hands and look at that big box he's got on his shoulders there. They would think that's him. But no, the real man's inside. The real you is inside of what's sitting here right now. And you're going to depart. Many of us are going to depart shortly. The Lord is ready to come back. But when you get to heaven, the Bible says, so that you will not be unclothed, but clothed upon, God gives you a celestial body. This body will not rip or tear. This body will not feel pain. It will never die. It'll never age. It'll never feel sickness or death. This is a body that God is going to give you that will live for eternity and that you will be in his presence. And for some of you rowdy guys here today, the greatest gift that you could give to your mother is to go to heaven with her when it's time. Now, maybe she'll go before you, but she sure will be waiting for you like she did many nights in your teenage years, hoping you'll come home sober or at least safe. And God is waiting for you. So when they dedicated baby Jesus, it's very important of the words that were said, because God gave promises and he keeps his promise. And I'd like you to write that down if you have a pen. God makes promises, and he keeps his promises. Because his great promise to you is that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, his promise is you'll be saved forever. That's his promise. He's going to keep that promise. He is not going to interfere with your life. He's going to allow you to know the truth. that if you'll just believe, use your head, confess, use your heart, you're free for eternity. And you will be with the people you love the most. Like I mentioned, I remember junior high going back to a high school reunion a number of years ago, and the girl who's five brothers and sisters and her mom and dad, they all owned the Dairy Queen. And every junior high kid at William Clark Elementary made sure that on Friday nights when we're in seventh, eighth grade, we were at the Dairy Queen because it was free night for the classmates. And Judy Reinhardt told me, said, "Do you know, I worked Friday nights for my mom and dad." And I said, "I vaguely remember that. But do you know that after you and your brother Kent would come here and hang out with the kids and go down by the movie theater, your mom would be right on your tail? And she'd say, 'Judy, have you seen Mike or Kent?' 'Yeah, who are they with?'" She actually asked, "Who are they with?" How dare her ask? Usually it was with the girls, but she asked. She wanted to know if we had bad influences in our life. So in verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout." Would you underline that, please? Because this is what you want to be and this is what I want to be. A just person and a devout person. Just towards man and devout towards God. Just and devout. He's an older guy. The Holy Spirit is involved here because it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is actually the Messiah. He is waiting for the comforter of Israel, as we've learned in Isaiah on Wednesday nights. So in ultra reality, he's looking for Jesus. The consolation would be the Messiah or the Christ. So here he is, an aged man, serving the Lord in the temple, and the Lord gave him a promise, and the Lord's going to keep his promise, but he had no clue that the consolation of Israel would come in the form of a little baby that he would take into his hands, just like Gordon DeBeaver just took this little baby in his hands. So let's follow this for a moment, for Mother's Day. It had been revealed to him, the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And listen to the words he said. Imagine you're the mother now, you're the father, and these prophetic words are being uttered by a very devout and just man that all of the country knew, that Simeon was one cool guy that loved God. And if you watched him, it would even draw you closer to God. Here's his words. "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Then look at mom and dad. Joseph and his mother. I like it that it says "and his mother" and not necessarily Mary, but it says Joseph and his mother. "Marveled of those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them." So the blessing of the Lord comes upon mom and dad. He blesses them. And look what he says with his words. As a parent, it must have been shocking. "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, would you take note of that? The sword. Imagine Mary, probably married at 12 years old, 13 years old, 14, 15. You can figure out the age there, because the next lady, you'll question her age too. Imagine you're the parent, and somebody that you look up to holds your baby and says, "This little guy is going to reveal the hearts of all the people in the audience. Just his presence is going to convict people of their sin. And this little guy is going to cause a sword to come right through your heart." Now it's interesting, in the 4th chapter, 12th verse of the book of Hebrews, it says that the word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, rightly dividing the thoughts and the intents of the heart, going to the very joints and marrow of the bone. So just the scriptures being read this morning go right into your heart, into your mind, that pass all your flesh, all your sinew, all of your veins and your arteries, goes right into your bone, right to the very substance of your being. The Word of God is eternal. Now, if a man or a woman denies God and renounces God, and they choose instead of being in heaven, and they spend eternity in outer darkness, I think the hell of it will be two or three things. One of them is that you will live with yourself for eternity. And if you can't get along with yourself now, think of thinking about yourself all day long and every day. Secondly, the last thing you will consciously have seen would be God on his throne talking to you and giving you a chance to explain your lifestyle and choices and your rejection of his plan of salvation. And you will always have imprinted in your being for eternity the love of God. And you'll remember you chose to reject that love. The third thing is, how many times have scriptures come to you and you've lived without them or with them for a period of time and they're stuck in the very marrow of your bones and in your soul, and every time something bad of your life is on the screen, a scripture would echo it. A sword, mother, will pierce your heart. Now, I'm sure that Mary was a little dumbfounded. This is a little too much. Any one of you ladies would say, to get pregnant and never have sex? Yikes. And then to have a delivery and not knowing what a delivery was, and all the shame she took in Nazareth, and just the pain she's gone through, and the emotional trauma, and shepherds, stinky, smelly shepherds coming to tell her that they saw angels. Just imagine what this lady went through. And yet the church would put her up on pedestals and, you know, treat her as if she is something that she's not. She's just a woman, a special woman. Won't deny that to her at all. And the word mother is used about her. The word mother. So there was one, Anna. Oh, the old guy's in the temple, and now Anna comes. Anna is a prophetess, the scriptures say here, verse 36. The daughter of Phanuel. You can read about Phanuel in the Old Testament. He's from the tribe of Asher. You can read about the tribe of Asher and the blessings that were given and pronounced upon Asher. She was of a great age. How old was she? Great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So let's say that her father and his father organized the wedding, and she was 13 years old. So when she was 20, he died. Well, let's say she's 15 when she's 22. Well, our statistic today is 22.5 is the age of American women bearing children. So let's say she's 20 years old or 22 years old when her husband dies, and it tells us this. Verse 37, this woman was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years, married for 7 is 91. Add 10, you got 101. Add another 10, you got 111. She's somewhere between 100 and 110 years old. And she's strong and vibrant and healthy. And she's prophesying, and she's in the house of the Lord worshiping. And this is what it says. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and their own city, Nazareth. And the child Jesus grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What a special time for Mary. She pondered all these things in her heart. What about another mom? The mother of Jacob and Esau. Two sons battling, always arguing and fighting. One of them a homeboy and the other one a field man. And the dad liked Esau, who was out hunting all the time, and mom liked to teach Jacob how to sew and how to cook. And the struggle was always going on, and this mother had favoritism to one son and not the other, but the father had favoritism to the other son. So some dysfunctional happening in the family. What about the 38th chapter? If you've never read it, very quick story to read. It would make a great motion picture. It's about a young, beautiful woman named Tamar. She was married to a young, handsome guy that died very early, and her father was Judah, the tribe of Judah, southern part of Israel, Judah. She was actually married into royalty in a sense. And yet her father-in-law and family rejected her. She wanted his attention. He went on a business trip, and she got miles ahead of him and went over to the side of the road and put a robe and wrapped around her, covered up her head. And he comes by, Judah, the father-in-law, and sees her and thinks she's a harlot. And he hires her and have sex with her, and she gets pregnant by her father-in-law. 3 months later, the baby's starting to show, and a servant comes running into the tent of Judah and says, "Do you know your daughter-in-law, Tamar, has played the part of a harlot?" And what did this man say? He said, "Bring her forth and stone her to death." That's what the law said. Now, here's a man with dual standards. On one hand, he would do something with a harlot. On the other hand, he says, "Kill the harlot." Now, he finds out it's his daughter-in-law. And when he went to leave, the daughter-in-law said, "Pay me." And he said, "I have no money." And she says, "And you've got to give me something." And stupidly, he gave his cloak, gave his staff, and his signet ring that had his seal as Judah, a mighty man in Israel. And when she came and he was going to give the order to kill her, he said, who is the father of this baby? And she reached over and said, "Here's his staff, here's his cloak, and here's his signet ring. When you can identify these three things, you'll know who the father is." And he looked at him and he realized he was the father. And God convicted him of his sin. Now, when this baby was born, there are some problems. You think of Perez. Perez means destruction or divided. And Perez is born. And when Perez comes out, there's another baby in a womb. And when Perez sticks out, he's the youngest, but the mother takes a red string and ties it around his finger, and then he pulls his hand back in, which tells us that he was breech. And his brother comes out, and they know which one gets the blessings because the red string was around his finger. And here's a mother that had struggles all of her life. We're told that there are about 10 to 12 million single mothers in America right now that have children under 18 years of age. And that's up from 3 million. That 10 or 12 million is up from 3 million in 1970. A young man just turned 18 on April 4th was walking down Hilltop and by the corner of Kingston in San Diego, Chula Vista. He was walking with two other friends. He had just turned 18. An older man pulled up with some guys in a car, got out and walked right up and shot him, killed him. He was in the San Diego Union Tribune. And it told the story. It had a picture of this 17-year-old young woman painting signs to have a car wash at the Arco station there by the corner and to raise money to pay for his funeral. I immediately got touched in the heart and called the San Diego Union Tribune and talked to that writer. I said, "We want to help. The people of Horizon want to help this young woman and the mother of this young boy. They just had a baby. The baby's 3 months old." And the story said that they had been together since they were both 13 years old. Now, you've all been 13 before. You remember what it was like at 13. You knew what it was like as a 13, 14-year-old to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and how special that time is. But to stay together all these years, then to have a baby and to have some sort of a future, and then he gets murdered, I could only imagine the pain. So her number was in the article, and we called her, and I spoke with her, and I encouraged her, "Don't you worry about a thing." And now some of the girls from the Horizon High School are meeting with her and befriending her and helping her. And we paid for the tombstone for that boy and some other things on your behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I know that's what every one of you would do. Well, moms have it hard. It's going to be hard for her. Her whole life, no matter if she marries again, her whole life is going to be frozen in time. It's going to take a special man to love her and to love that child. Well, here we see this story of Jesus in the purity of a devout and a just man blessing him. But yet the Bible is full of women, Elizabeth and Sarah, 90 years old, having babies. We're told that out of the 4 million babies that are going to be born this year, of this number, about 450,000 of them are born by teenage girls. And almost 100,000 of these babies are born by mothers that are over 40 years of age. Now, when you get to be 40 years of age, the odds of you of having a really super healthy delivery start going down. But to be 40 and to have a 13-year-old when you're 53, that's where it really takes a special mom to be an older woman, to be going as fast as a 13-year-old, keeping them out of trouble like that mother bear protecting her little baby. So God comes along to you, ladies, and he will bless you wherever you are as a mother, and he'll help you and he'll honor you. He'll look after you. Bathsheba. Bathsheba was married to a warrior named Uriah. Uriah went to war on behalf of King David in the Jewish army. And he was an honorable man. And David, the Bible says, in the time that the kings went to battle, David stayed at home in the palace. He had sinned against God by not leading his people. And he walks out in this warm summer night, and he looks down at the house below him, and he sees a beautiful woman with her clothes off getting into the bath. I've always wondered about this. Her name's Bathsheba. What if she was taking a shower? Would she be Shower Sheba or Sponge Bathsheba? Or I never understood the Bathsheba part. And he sends over one of his aides, says, bring that woman over to my house. And he seduces her, and she gets pregnant. When he finds out that she's pregnant, he calls for Uriah and tells the general, have him come to my palace. I want to see how the war is going. Sits him down and gets him drunk, feeds him, honors him in front of his servants. How's the war going? When he thinks he's drunk enough, he says, go home and sleep with your wife. He wants him to think that this baby is his. But this man was much more honorable than King David, for he said, no, my troops are in the foxholes and in the fields. It would not be honorable for me to go and have the comfort of my bed. I will certainly go and sleep with the animals in the barn. Oh my goodness, what a strange deal that is. Now, 3 Sundays ago, speaking of strange deals, when I wasn't here, Jonathan and Sarah and I had the honor of speaking at Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar. Raul Reese, my friend, the pastor, was in Israel. First service, Psalm 41, gave the message. A lot of people gave their hearts to the Lord. Second service, just as we started to walk out, there was a little minor pop noise. And in this huge building, the auditorium seats 2,500, a huge building, all the lights went out, all power was gone, there was nothing. It was dark. And yet people kept coming in from the sides, and you could see the light from outside, and the place was filled. And the Lord said, change your message. And I changed my message, and I started to tell how that in the 60s, I was seeking for God, but I had overdosed and almost died one night and thought that I'd been shot in the head with a gun. I ended up in a mental hospital. It took 17 months to get me to believe that I was alive and the left side of my face wasn't missing. And then I went to a prayer meeting. Pastor Chuck Smith laid hands on me, anointed me with oil, and I was instantly healed. My wife, who had divorced me 2.5 years earlier, saw such a change in my life, gave her heart to Jesus, and we were remarried after 3 years of divorce. And I began to tell that story. And a few days later, Sylvia, Raul's secretary, sent an email, and then I started getting other phone calls and emails. Did you hear what happened? Because in the dark, Sarah very wisely grabbed her acoustic guitar and stood at the edge of the stage just singing worship songs without any band or any PA. And the audience just followed along and worshiped the Lord. Well, I picked up a bullhorn and said, okay, I want everybody's hands in the air so I can see what you're up to. And I thought, well, I don't want to preach with a bullhorn. Made it all the way through. And you know, there was a young man, a United States Marine. His father had asked him if he would come to church with him. This Marine had been in battle, had been traumatized, PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. He couldn't speak well. He was stuttering. His mind was not working. He was destined the rest of his life to be lost and confused because of the war. But when he heard what God had done in my life, the Holy Spirit came on him at the same time. And as he walked to the car with his father, he turned to him and said, Dad, I'm healed. I can talk. I'm fine, Dad. My thoughts are perfect right now. And Jesus instantly healed him. In the midst of a power shortage, Jesus instantly healed him. You know, in closing, when you think of this daddy walking out with his son, you can't help but think of Mary walking out with her son and thinking all these thoughts that I'm going to have pain, this child's going to cause problems. But she knew the scriptures. Elizabeth, Sarah, Jacob and Esau's mother, Tamar, the problems she went through, Bathsheba. We'll close with John chapter 19. And you know what this chapter is? It's the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. In the 19th chapter, it says this in 2 verses, verse 25, 6, and 7. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I thank the Lord for writing that, because it could have said, stood by the cross of Jesus, Mary. But it said his mother. This is a very special woman. And you know, mother is very special to you. God actually chose who our mothers would be. And he knew that all of her DNA and whatever else would help make you who you are today. Now, maybe you had a rough time growing up with your mom. Maybe there's walls between your mom. You should call her today. But God knew who your mother would be. And you should be grateful. Because part of the verse that says, honor your mother and father, for in it you shall have long life, in the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, Paul the Apostle says, honor thy mother and thy father, for it is the only verse that offers or promises a long life. In honoring your mother, you are ultimately honoring God, who allowed this woman to be your mother. And his choices are always the best. So to thank the Lord for your mother is a great honor. Now listen, as the guys come back up on stage. Listen to this. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And his mother's sister was there, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, we're assuming John, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, he honored her, behold your son. I don't think there's a mother here or on the internet or listening on the radio network that want to behold their son with nails in his hands and his feet, with blood on his face and a crown of thorns on his head and a back that was shredded with 39 lashes. Truly, God's word was fulfilled this day for this mother, that a sword would go through her heart to feel what she had to let go of so that God's plan of redemption could happen for you and me. Listen to what happens. Behold your mother. And then he said, woman, behold your son. Turning to that disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. You see, Joseph was standing beside Mary the day that Simeon said, a sword will pierce your heart. But Joseph is not standing beside her, more than likely because he died. He's not in the picture. And for Jesus to be the firstborn in that culture, he was totally responsible for his mother and the younger brothers and sisters. We know that Jesus was given a Bible study in a house one day, and they came and said, your mother, your sisters, and your brothers, and name them, are outside. And they thought that he had gone crazy, the scripture says, because day and night he just helped people and taught them the word of God. And it names sisters. Sisters with an S means there's at least two girls raised in that house, at least two girls. And then it names Joses and the other three, four brothers minimum, and with Jesus, Mary had the responsibility of seven kids. She was a virgin when Jesus was born. The others came after Jesus, the Bible says. Now Jesus, hanging there without any water, without any food, psychologically drained, mentally destroyed and beat up by the prince of hell, physically in more agony than any of us have ever felt or could imagine, he turns in his right mind and says, woman, behold your son. And his last act before giving up his spirit is to turn the authority that he has as number one son to this disciple. And from that day on, Mary went to this man's house and he looked after her. That's how important you are, mom. That the last thing in redemption would be honoring mother. So I encourage you today, be thankful. Some of you need to make a phone call. You need to send a text. A phone call would be better. And to love her. 80% of Americans today are delivering a Mother's Day card. Did you know that? 80% of Americans today are giving Mother's Day cards. And 83% of those 83% are from the daughters, not the sons. So guys, shape up. Get over to 7-Eleven. Get a card. Get over to mom's right now. Shall we stand? And shall we pray? Our God, our Father, We thank you that you're not a big statue. You're not an idol that's sitting somewhere that we have to go once a year and bow down to. We thank you that you are alive and that you have titled Father and that you created man in your image and you brought to man a woman and gave them the order to replenish the earth, to multiply and subdue it. We're very grateful for that. May you bless our mothers today, even those that are in heaven. May you bless those that are in hospital or sick. May you bless those that are beside us or those we're going to see. May you bless the memories of our mothers right now and the thoughts about our mothers. And may you forgive us for the moments that we've not honored our mothers. May you bless these men and women, these boys and girls this very hour as they honor you by honoring their mother. We thank you for the concept that only God, the creator of heaven and earth, could come up with. There would be a mother. There would be a father. But the mother would have the responsibility that a sword would come into her heart as she would suffer quietly and be behind the scenes to defend and protect, to clothe, and to educate. May you bless these mommies today with an abundance of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.